Tell me now, are you going to vote yes on issues 2, 3, 4, and 5? Do I hear that? Well, they didn't go to double figures on issues because they didn't want to leave any child behind as much as they're not funding education in this country. Hey, we've got a great guy here, an American who has served his country in many ways, and he has come back from Iraq. You know him better than I do, but I can tell you in the radio business, he's a great soundbite, great American. His name's Paul Hackett. He's with us here on the Ed Schultz Show.
Thank you, Ed. Glad to finally meet you.
Glad to meet you. Reform Ohio, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Well, you got the right sticker on. You're off to a good start.
Well, you know, I know my audience.
Yes, you do.
Try to, at least.
Well, you're with the Union Brother, right?
That's right.
Yeah, you're at the right place.
Absolutely.
Why are you doing this? Why are you going to run?
Well, I'll tell you what.
You loved the last election so much, you want to do it again?
I'm a glutton for abuse. You know, it's pretty straightforward, and I came back from Iraq, as you know, and that's what got me into the congressional race. And I look at this great country that we live in, and I believe to the core of my bones that currently our country is well on the way down the wrong path, and I'm looking around for other Americans to get up and serve and put their country first and put their country before their career. And I felt that way in serving in Iraq, and I felt that way in getting into the congressional race, and I feel that way now. I mean, I got a straightforward mission, and I want to help correct what is going wrong with our country, period.
You gotta love that. You gotta love that. You know, the one thing that, that strikes me about you is that you are so damn honest.
I learned that from Scooter. It's the leadership up in Washington taught me that.
All right, well, whatever you do, don't associate with them. But it's good to, it's like the Godfather thing, you know, keep your enemies closer, right?
That's right, absolutely.
We're living in some very interesting times. I think we're living probably in one of the most selfish generations in the history of the country. And we're not all going to be millionaires. We're not. Mm-hmm. And we may never be. And there's folks out there who are working 2 and 3 jobs that just want a better chance for their kids.
Right.
I mean, it's about the kids, isn't it? What's our legacy? What are we going to leave behind?
And you sound like me on the stump, Ed. I mean,
well, it's the truth. But yeah. You know what? Everywhere I go and everywhere Team Fargo goes, I mean, we see it in your eyes. There's fire in your eyes to change what's happening in America. Whether it's left or right, or Republican, Democrat, da-da-da-da. I mean, the fact is, things aren't going as good as they should be. We can do better than this. And that's what I hear in your voice.
Well, I mean it. Look, I mean, we live in the greatest country in the world, and here we are at the crossroads, and our generation, my generation, probably for the first time in the history of this great nation, is at a point where we may leave to our kids and our grandkids in America that is not as good as what we received. And I don't want to see that happen.
Well, the reason why I brought up finances is because I think people would like to do more. I think there's a lot of middle-income people that live on, obviously, fixed incomes, and the way elections and politics have gone in this country, that money rules.
Right.
But I maintain the fact that there's no price tag on volunteerism.
Right.
And that you can get involved and you can make a difference and you can act and get after it. And that's what you're doing. You're taking the lead. Your military experience is going to help the party immensely, I think, because you can speak with credibility and from experience. And I want to know, if you were in the United States Senate, and if you knew back then what you know right now, that question's coming.
I think you've already asked me that question before, Ed. At least I've been asked that question a number of times. And, I mean, I've said it. I would not have voted to go into Iraq. And unfortunately... (laughs) you know, nobody was really interested in what my politics were 3 years ago as we were leading up to Iraq. So I always encourage everybody who has any doubt, ask my poor wife and ask the folks who work for me in my law practice, because they had to listen to me every day on the rant about how stupid this was. And it didn't take a lot of genius to figure out that invading Iraq was a bad idea, because if you listen to Shinseki, General Shinseki, if you listen to General Zinni, I mean, those two guys are four-star generals, one in the Army, one in the Marine Corps, and they were cautioning this administration not to go into Iraq. And what did this administration do? They ignored 30-year career generals and their advice. Well, that's what those guys do for a living. Those guys are the professionals. Those are who the administration, the civilian administration, should consult when they're thinking about doing that. And what happened to them? Well, General Shinseki was retired, and General Zinni, who was a Mideast envoy, was... let go.
Okay. So, Paul Hackett with us here on the Ed Schultz Show. You're an attorney. I forgot about that. Hell, you could be on the Supreme Court before
right.
This is over with.
Jeez.
Back on the Ed Schultz Show live from Columbus, Ohio. Coming up on the program later today, we're going to have General Wesley Clark, and he's going to be talking about his online petition to make sure that Armed Forces Radio Network gets the big red-headed fat guy on there. So we're working on that. And he'll talk a little bit about Iraq. He'll talk about his plans for 08 and a bunch of other stuff. Right now we're visiting with Paul Hackett, who almost won that congressional seat and is now going for the nomination to run for the United States Senate here in Ohio.
Thanks.
You were in Iraq when?
I was in Iraq from mid-August 04 to March of this year. As a matter of fact, a year ago today, I just took over my little forward operating base outside of the city of Fallujah, right on the eastern entry point of Fallujah a year ago today.
In your opinion, has it gotten better from what you can see?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Even with the constitutional vote.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's a success. But my question is that what the American people signed up to spend their tax dollars for? And is that what we wanted to spend 2,000 lives for on the theory that we're going to spread democracy at the business end of an M16? I don't think so. I didn't.
So...
If you look at what's gone on in Iraq for the last 2.5 years and you look at it non-emotionally and objectively and try to ferret out the successes, the security situation is not as good today as it was 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, and the infrastructure is not as good as it was 6 months ago, a year ago, or 2 years ago. And the reason we aren't having success in fixing the infrastructure is because the security situation is so bad. And the security situation is so bad because this administration ignored the generals in their advice on what it would take in order to secure that country after we toppled Saddam Hussein. So, you know, we're back to where we got started.
These guys were telling Wendy and I the other night at dinner that the intensity, the sophistication, and the organization of these...
Insurgents,
yeah, whatever you want to call it. The bombs that are going on, these roadside bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, it is phenomenal how sophisticated they've gotten.
These guys are not rookies.
It's hard to keep. We've trained them. This event has trained them and given them a lot of knowledge, and they're only getting better at it.
Right. I mean, to diminish the smarts, skill, and tenacity of the insurgents that we're fighting over there is to not face reality. These folks, and they're bad SOBs, but they're good fighters, and they're smart, and it doesn't do anybody any service to sort of downplay them and say silly things like they're on their death throes and they're about defeated. I mean, that's silly. I suppose they appear to be on their death throes from the White House, but I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. I was there.
Do you think Paul Hackett with us here on the Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk? Paul, Do you think that, okay, you're on the Senate floor. What would you advocate America to do right now in Iraq?
Here's what the President of the United States has to do. He has to face the fact that, and I'll say it this way, we as a nation made a mistake in going into Iraq. And he's got to face the fact that he's got to withdraw from Iraq. And the way he accomplishes that is to rely on the military expertise and task the generals to extricate us from Iraq.
Starting now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is not something that's going to happen overnight.
After
the planning, the planning has to start now, and the retrograde has to start now. Because make no mistake, whether we leave a year from now, 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, that place ain't getting better. And whenever we leave, that place is going to spiral into control, out of control, before it improves on its own. What has been accomplished over there to this date is as good as it's going to get. And it's time to turn it over to the Iraqis. If they want their freedom, if they want their independence, it's time for them to pick up the ball and run with it and take care of themselves.
You agree with that, folks?
Well, pouring billions of dollars of American tax dollars onto that situation and spending more American lives ain't going to make it better.
The conservatives are saying that you're advocating a cut-and-run policy.
Cut and run. What am I cutting and running
well,
from?
Well, I mean, they're going to say, no, we can't begin to draw down troops now. You're saying that we should draw down troops now. What about their argument saying that that would only embolden the terrorists, that would only create a safe haven for them?
They're already emboldened. I know that firsthand. I don't have to go to a PowerPoint presentation at the Pentagon to know that. And the cut and run argument, first of all, what is the strategy? I call on the President of the United States to explain to the American people, the taxpayers, those who are fighting the war over there, what the hell is the strategy? What's the goal? Tell me what the strategy is, and what's the goal? Cut and run, and you know, part of that argument is, well, it's better to fight them over there than it is on our shores.
Wait,
here's the answer
to
that.
That's unacceptable vernacular on the Ed Schultz Show from this moment on.
Right, well, here's the answer to that. We had the righteous fight in Afghanistan. You know how many troops we got in Afghanistan to fight that righteous fight? 20,000. 20,000. That's where the fight was.
So, I agree with that. And they didn't even tell us they were shifting resources to get ready for Iraq.
Yep.
All right, so if you get in the Senate, you would be an advocate for the military. I mean, don't you think that Americans need to hear that from liberals and from the Democratic Party? Do you think that...
How could I not be an advocate for the military?
Well, I'm just
part
saying
of the
that
military. I'm one of the troops. So I see the support the troops, and you don't support the troops. Guess what, brother? I am one of the troops.
Yeah. And do you think that Democrats have an image problem with the military?
Well, they got a little bit of an image problem. They need to get schooled up on how to speak to the military, because so frequently the language that they use doesn't really cut into the military. You know, when you call Marines soldiers, when you call sailors soldiers, you know, with the young bucks out there on the carriers and on the ground over there, you know, you're not being heard when you don't speak the language, and it diminishes your credibility. So, you know, I say as constructive criticism to Democrats, we've got to learn how to speak the language, and we've got to be willing to serve, even if we want to be critical, because, look, at the end of the day, we're Americans first. We're Americans before we're Republicans or Democrats, and we got to stay focused on that.
Paul Hackett here on the Ed Schultz Show. Stay with us. We're going to the crowd microphone when we come back. You can't leave yet.
Yeah, not a problem.
1-877, we got Ed, and we're back. Good to have you back with us here on the Ed Schultz Show. Live from the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Union Hall 189 in Columbus, Ohio. And if you're driving around Columbus, come on in. We'd love to have you. All right, news at this hour. As you know, Scooter Libby has been indicted on 5 counts. 2 counts of perjury, 2 counts of making false statements, and 1 count of obstruction of justice. That's the news of the day. He resigned later on today, and the vice president said he took his resignation with deep regret.
because he's afraid of what the hell he's really going to say in front of the court. Let's see. And the special prosecutor, Fitzgerald, held a press conference not long ago. He said, quote, "It's not over." And with those indictments, he said, quote, "A CIA officer's name was blown, and there was a leak, and we need to figure out how that happened, who did it, why, whether a crime was committed, whether we could prove it, whether we should prove it, given national security was at stake. It was especially important that we find our accurate facts." Joe Wilson was to be on this program today. We had scheduled him several weeks ago, but his attorney called him this morning and said, "You know what? You better not be talking to Big Eddie in the crowd yet. There's a lot of legal stuff coming down." He called up remorsefully, and he wants to be on with us. He will. He's a good friend of ours, a good friend of the program, and Joe Wilson will join us in a timely fashion when his attorney says, "Go have at it." So that's what's going on there. And he's a union guy, by the way. All right, Mr. Hackett, you're not a one-issue candidate, are you?
No. Nope.
God bless you for the military. What's next on your list?
Well, I think number one on the list is the economy and saving the middle class of America.
You got that right.
You know, it's funny you asked me that question, because when I started off in the congressional race, that was the only thing that I was talking about, was the economy and the middle class that we're exporting to China and India. And then pretty soon everybody kind of caught on that I'd been to Iraq, and I suddenly became labeled the Iraq war vet who comes back and runs for Congress. But I, you know, the two are related, obviously, when you consider the amount of money that we're spending over in Iraq and how that money could probably be better used over here in the United States.
Let's go to the crowd. Thank you for joining us, ma'am. Thanks for being here. Your question?
Kathy Helmbach, Cincinnati, 2nd District.
I recognize you. That's a heck of a good-looking magazine you got.
Isn't
there? What
that
is that?
Though?
Is that Mother Jones? Who's that good-looking guy on that cover there?
And in this article in Mother Jones, it talks about how you reached Republicans and independents out in the 2nd District.
Sure.
And I think you need to tell Democrats how you did it so that we can all do the same thing.
Good question. Well, how do you reach out to the disenchanted?
Well, here's the disappointing answer. I didn't sit around with a focus group and try to figure out what to say. And I suspect maybe that played with some of the success that we had, because I look at America. I don't look at a Democratic America or a Libertarian America or a Republican America. I look at one big America, and we're all in this boat together.
You okay with that? What do you think? Huh?
I honestly think that many of my Republican friends, and living down in Cincinnati, God knows I've got a lot of close Republican friends, and you know what? They share the same concern as we do right now, and I think, frankly, they feel somewhat abandoned by their party that used to be focused on many of the same things that we as Democrats are focused on, and I think they suddenly woke up one day and realized that their party has been hijacked by religious radicals who are one issue.
Let's go back to this gentleman. How old are you?
24.
24.
How'd you know he was
24? I already asked him. I asked him if he was old enough to get into a union hall.
All right.
I'm Ben from Columbus, Ohio, and longtime listener of the show. Mr. Hackett, could you explain more? I have a friend who just returned with Lima Company, and he was telling me about the insurgents in Iraq and how basically a lot of them are not Iraqi. I was wondering if you knew much about that.
I can give my thoughts and what I saw, which is probably a little bit different everywhere in Iraq. And first of all, that's Lima 325, 325th Marines, okay? That's a reserve rifle battalion, infantry battalion, that is most everybody in the audience here knows is home-based here in Ohio. And they took some pretty heavy losses at the beginning of August. And just got back here a couple of weeks ago. Look, there are essentially three different stripes of bad guys in Iraq. There are the jihadists, which are the religious fanatics coming from within Iraq and outside of Iraq to fight. There are the common criminal organized crime types who are kidnapping people for money. And then there are the Baathists, the former Saddam regime guys, who got fired and are out there to get even. And probably the ones that you were referring to are the jihadists who are coming from around the world. I know in Fallujah there were Chechens and Filipinos who were fighting in Fallujah when I was there last year.
It's been a breeding ground. They've brought a lot of people.
Well, it's a magnet. It's a magnet. You know, I mean, everybody wants to come and fight the superpower, and this is where we're at, and that's the fight they're going to get. And let you know, make no mistake about who I am. I've got no problems fighting terrorism and dealing with those SOBs because they're bad people. They should be eradicated. But this is not Hollywood. It's not going to be over in 3 hours and we're going to walk out into the sunshine with the wind at our back and everything ends happily ever after. Terrorism is a lot more complicated than simply killing bad guys, because what terrorism comes down to is it is a group of ideas. And you can't kill an idea by simply killing enough bad guys. You've got to attack that idea on at least three fronts.
Paul Hackett here on the Ed Schultz Show, live from Columbus, Ohio. Stay with us. We're right back. I made a resignation of Libby. The president just commented before going off to Camp David for the weekend, which he does a pretty good job of.
24/7.
He vacations pretty. Vacations an awful lot. The president said, "Today I accept the resignation of Scooter Libby." Today. That's what his comment was. "Today I accept the resignation of Scooter Libby today." He didn't get into the questionnaire thing, but he cleared up what day it was. He went on to say, "I got a job to do, and so do people who work at the White House."
24/7. 24 hours a week, 7 months a year.
You wrote that. He didn't say that. President said, "I got a job to do, and so do people who work at the White House." I'll tell you what, and I'm not, I don't hate anybody, but let's just put the cards on the table. There just isn't anything more cerebral than that, is there? I mean, can you believe all the things that have happened in the last year? I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, the run-up to the election last year, if someone had told us that this is where we're... No, there isn't anybody in this room that would have been able to say this is where we were going to be a year later. They knew they had to fix those machines. They knew it. All right, let's go back to the crowd here. Got a couple minutes to go before we go to break with Paul Hackett. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I'm Bob from Columbus.
Hi, Bob.
You know, I'm pretty angry about politics and the way things are going. I emphasize the anger part. And I heard you respond to Ed's question with some steam coming out of your mouth and your nose. And I would like to know whether you think anger has a place in the politics for the next few years, or whether we have to be genteel.
Well,
and now remember, progressive talk radio, they told us we'd never make it because we sound angry.
You know, here's the answer to that. I mean, we've all been angry in life. Use it, focus it, and manage it to do something good. I mean, that's how I view it.
Yeah. All right, we've only got about 30 seconds. Paul Hackett, you are a breath of fresh air. Best of luck to you in getting the nomination. And I'll tell you what, this guy is a great example for the kind of heart and desire that Americans are going to have and live if we're going to save this country and get it back the way we know we can get it back. Paul Hackett,
thank
thanks
you,
for being here.
Thank you.
You bet.
Plug the website, Hackett for Ohio.